Hello, and welcome to the Healing No Filter podcast. I'm your host, Laura Renner. I'm an author, a nurse, and frankly, someone who's been through a whole lot. I'm here to provide you with a weekly dose of relatable, no-nonsense methods for healing your mind, body, and all things trauma-related. Now let's dive in. Hi, friends. I know I've been a little MIA lately, actually, a lot of MIA lately, and that's been for a lot of reasons, mostly because February has been a wild month. A lot of big and heavy shit came up for me and happened in my life that threw quite the wrench in what I planned for and expected this month to look like. I had a lot of big and exciting plans for February, and it feels like this month turned out to be the exact opposite. I had big fears come up around my own health coming into question. My cat's health, who I've had for almost 14 years, was getting worse and worse and worse. And I was dealing with high stress around that and her, and pretty much starting to mourn the loss of her preemptively because it looked like it was going to go that way. So to back up and just kind of give you the full scoop, in early February, I woke up with severe back pain at the beginning of the month in the morning, and it was really reminiscent of the many times that I unfortunately fractured my back in the past. And with this one, it happened in my sleep, which also is what happened in 2018 with my thoracic fractures. So I just immediately went into freeze and panic mode. I was scared something was really wrong with me, and I was also really petrified of going back down the, you know, year-long path that I had to previously of constantly seeing specialists and getting imaging and labs and other tests and getting zero answers and going through this incredibly painful process where I was just stumping these top-tier specialists and kept getting sent to more specialists and more and more, and no one could figure out what was going on with me, which was scary and stressful and was pretty much just all-consuming for my life for 12 months from 2018 and through 2019. And I don't want to go through that again. It was super high stress. And then Nina, my sweet little baby, senior cat, who, you know, my ex, she was originally his cat, actually. So I've known her since she was born. And I've had her since 2011. She's been with me through my divorce, my health problems, all the shit. She has been progressively getting sicker over the last few months and was so unwell this month that I was taking her to the vet. Well, first in January, every other week, which in February turned into every couple of days, which also turned into overnight emergency vet visits. And at that point, they were discussing the potential for end of life care. So I was just a fucking wreck, you know, truly feeling like my life was falling apart completely. I felt paralyzed. I was just sobbing. My anxiety was through the roof. And since I was living in this super overwhelmed, sympathetic nervous system dominant state, I wasn't able to think clearly. I was living moment to moment, barely, while also, you know, just panicking about all these future potential fears. It just really fucking sucked. I was a hot mess. I was super, super stressed, super low energy, couldn't sleep to save my life, feeling very non-functional, and like I was hanging on by a thread for the majority of this month. And it turns out that wasn't necessary. My sudden onset back issues aren't taking me down the same path of my challenging 2018, 2019 problems and all that shit. I was now actually being listened to and supported by all of my providers who were giving me imaging and labs and referrals to specialists that I can choose to go down, but I also don't feel like I absolutely have to for the sake of my health because my health is not at risk right now. And also, guess what? Nina isn't dying. Everyone was wrong. Thank fucking God. My vets and the emergency vets, you know, her vet was thinking, you know, based on her symptoms and histories that she was in acute kidney failure and moving toward end of life care. But turns out not the case. Just some inflammatory bowel disease. She couldn't digest her food and it just kind of rocked her. And with a diet change and some meds, she's healthier and more like herself and better than she's been in months, which is a huge fucking relief. And what I realized through all of this is that with both of these, I amplified the fuck out of them as a problem. I immediately jumped to worst case scenario thinking. And I didn't even allow a single thought of hope or alternatives to enter my mind. As I worked through these and had this just giant realization of, oh shit, like there's still some deep beliefs here that I have to expect and prepare for and fear the worst case scenario as the only possible outcome because I believe that to be the only possible outcome. And I was like, fuck, this is a problem. And it's a problem that I thought I had worked through in the past, but clearly I hadn't. So it's time to clear that shit up. So I completely restructured my life, my calendar. I knew I, of course, needed lots of Nina time, lots of time to take care of my back. But also I knew I needed lots of time to understand why my thoughts could only see worst case scenarios as possible outcomes for me. I knew the shit was getting dark and scary very quickly, and my body was just feeling like it was in total chaos. So I immediately just jumped to all of my tools. I did a ton of meditating, journaling, breath work, walks outside, and I did a ton of mindset redirection where I was redirecting my thoughts back to the present. It is so easy. I know this super fucking well, to just spiral into the future what ifs and get super heightened about all the potential bad things that can happen. I've done that for most of my life, so I'm right there with you if this describes you as well, unfortunately. But I was really intentional and just kept reminding myself that I don't know anything yet. I don't know anything with my health, with my cat's health. So it serves zero purpose to think about and get hyped in a panicked way about all these potential bad things that could happen. And here's why. When you start freaking out about an outcome that hasn't happened yet, like for me thinking that Nina was dying and how sad I'm going to be and how painful the grieving process will be, how, you know, I might have to pursue all this intense testing for bone diseases again or something new, then I don't know what that's going to mean for my health overall and my future and if my back's just going to degenerate for the rest of my life. Subscribing to those thoughts, meaning, you know, grasping onto them and going deeper into the fears and future fears and feelings that come up with all of that, makes our mind think that it's happening right now, thinks it's happening actively to us in the moment. So that just perpetuates the feelings and ramps up your nervous system, which makes the thoughts get louder. And it just continues to cycle and spiral and get worse as if it's happening right now. Our minds don't know the difference. This is actually why visualization is so powerful, because our mind doesn't know the difference between what we're imagining or visualizing to be real and what's actually really happening right now. It's crazy, right? But stick with me here. So I knew that there was no fucking way I was hopping on this train of despair. I knew I needed to focus on hope, focus on how I don't know the answers right now and how I'm choosing to believe that everything is going to be okay, that Nina's going to be okay, that my health is going to be okay, that things are going to be better than I was wired to believe. So this meant that I had to be super intentional about breaking those old neural pathways and easy thought patterns of worst case scenario thinking. That used to be my MO. I somehow learned or taught myself that that was the safest option for me to prepare for and the way that I had to operate. But that's not actually true. I know this. I know this from lived experience, and I know this from studying neuroscience. So instead of taking what would be the easy route for my mind, which was continuing to think the absolute worst was my reality in every circumstance, I chose to have hope. I chose to just fucking cling to hope, and I chose to believe in the option of a different outcome. Again, this is not easy. This required very, very intentional awareness and a lot of just attention to my thoughts as they were coming up. And as I would start to go down that, you know, dark rabbit hole, I would just immediately go, nope, I'm taking a different direction. Then another thought would come up and just, nope, take it a different direction again. And guess what? Nina isn't dying. I'm not dying. We're all still good over here. My back's still a little TBD, but I'm not in the severe pain anymore. And I don't have to be stuck in this thinking of worst case scenarios. So, you know, I've also really realized that through all this, that I'm just going to have to, for myself, be more proactive in caring for my back and to avoid having lots of back pain. But guess what? That's what I need and what I was doing for a while anyway and what I should be doing anyway, given my back surgery, how it completely fucked my spine up truly, and how my brain surgery changed just the physical structure of my skull. I have to be really proactive about taking good care of myself. And that's just my reality, and that's okay. I can do that to live, you know, a pain-free life and take good care of myself. So all in all, these fears of this worst case scenario shit coming up actually just exposed me to the fact that these are still some deep-seated fears that I really needed to clear to move forward. So I worked on them. I worked on them in therapy. I worked on them in some coaching calls. I did all my journaling, my meditation. I did a ton of breath work and a lot of just movement and just different ways to be active in feeling into my body and also be active in choosing the directions of my thoughts. Not that, you know, I wanted these things to happen. Obviously I didn't, but maybe they needed to. You know, it really exposed how paralyzed I was by these fears. It just broke me in a way that I haven't really felt in a long time. And I don't want that for myself. So by having these really shitty, wildly unpleasant events come up this month, it allowed me to realize what past wounds were still there that really needed healing, that needed to be cleared so I could really feel safe. So this actually was really huge for me in a good way. So I want to get real specific about the things that I did here. I wasn't just like, you know, in toxic positivity land thinking everything's great and just, you know, push down my real feelings and just be positive. Absolutely not. Instead, I fully let my feelings come up and surface. I fucking sobbed many hours. I felt super empty, super depressed, super powerless, scared out of my mind. And I let myself feel these. You know, feelings aren't just arbitrary, random things. They come up for a reason. And I was able to recognize that these were coming up because, you know, my little child self, Laura, who experienced trauma, and my adult self, Laura, who experienced trauma, needed these to heal. This all boiled down to how I still, on many levels, did not feel safe. I felt that I was at the mercy of a world that could hurt me at any point and that I needed to always be on guard. So I didn't want to live like that anymore. That's not a healthy way for me to live. And like I said, I thought I'd clear a lot of this, but this really exposed that I hadn't. I still had so much of a lack of safety as my foundation. So what did I do to work on healing this? I'm so glad you asked. I did a lot of connecting to my younger self, connecting to some of those moments where, you know, specifically like I got lost on a field trip in preschool where I remember feeling super panicked and alone and scared and unsafe. Or I remember, you know, something that may seem more trivial, but I was, you know, being singled out and made fun of by my entire class in first grade. And then of course, you know, the much heavier, more traumatic moments as well. I, you know, really spent a lot of time kind of processing those and sent those Lauras, you know, in those moments, so much fucking love and protection. One thing actually that I did with my Hakomi therapist quite a bit that I found super helpful was imagining going into those moments as my current self and saving myself and protecting my younger self and comforting my younger self, which may sound a little strange to you. That's fine. It can be a little out there, but what I've done in that therapy and also just on my own, like especially over the last couple of weeks, has helped my body go from this fight or flight state to a much calmer state. I feel this resolution. I'm able to feel much safer in my body and with myself. I can feel the tension going down and my heart rate slow down. And these feelings that I'm actually safe, which is fucking huge. If you can resonate with this, I don't know if you can't, that might be hard to understand, but when you don't feel safe, it's really scary. It can feel really scary in yourself. It feels like there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. There's no one to help you. And so being able to get to a place of safety has been really, really fucking paramount for me. Another thing that I did also is a lot of journaling. Just, you know, word vomiting out my thoughts onto pages and pages and pages without judgment, just letting the thoughts stream out. I've learned through journaling that when I just think and, you know, seemingly work through thoughts in my head, it does not process the same for me. I've had so many, oh shit, realizations, like big stuff come up when I write my thoughts down as they're coming up, for some reason, I'm able to process them differently and look at them differently and even just think about them differently. It allows me to, you know, understand them better and connect them, you know, better to experiences and memories and kind of those root causes of where they even came from. So journaling is really, really powerful for me. It allows me to dissect my thoughts and look at them as thoughts that I'm having versus being a part of my identity. Big difference here. I also did a lot of changing up my environment. When I found myself really struggling to redirect my thoughts, I would go for a walk outside, go to a different room, change my outfit, put on music, put my hair up. I would listen to, you know, a quick audio meditation. I would do a tapping video, even just a loud clap or out loud saying no, which sounds weird. I know, but trust me, it works. These are all different ways to disrupt those thought cycles, to get out of the stuck feelings and patterns. They would force me to have different audio or visual input into my brain, which then allowed me to more easily change my thoughts. This is a big one for me. And I just gave a couple examples of things that I like to do, but there's a lot of different ways, I'm sure, to alter your environment, alter your visual or audio stimulus, so that way you can disrupt your thoughts and feelings when you're feeling stuck. Breathwork and meditation are also two big things that can really help me do that as well and help me a ton. It helps me, you know, get into my body and out of my head and just out of those thoughts, which can also allow you to process and release what your body is feeling. You know, the stress, the pain, sadness, fear, lack of safety, whatever it is. Your body holds on to things and memories differently than your mind does. This is actually very well researched. So giving yourself more somatic or body connection and release is really valuable. Our mind and body are constantly giving each other feedback that impacts our physiologic responses within our brain, our nervous system, and that cascades throughout the systems of our bodies, like our hormones, our heart, our gut, etc. So taking time to get out of our heads and thoughts and reconnect to what our bodies are feeling is really big and another way to allow yourself to process these feelings and feel better. I've also realized that, you know, getting into your body and doing more somatic and body healing is really one of the most powerful things that I can do for myself. Yes, of course, you know, mindset and rewiring thought processes has been incredibly impactful for me. But allowing my body to feel safe and to release the shit that it's holding on to that I don't even realize at times brings me into such a clear and grounded and calm place where I can think logically and rationally instead of getting sucked into the worst case scenario mindsets. So if you're new to meditating or breath work, you know, there's plenty of YouTube videos, there's playlists on Spotify, and I'm sure other places, or, you know, I actually highly recommend going in person to like a live meditation or breath work session. I actually went to a sound bath when I was like in one of my peak low points, and it helped me tremendously. And that's something that I just in general try to do at least once a month to just kind of invigorate the shit out of my soul and get out of my head, because it really just centers me in such a different way than when I just meditate at home. So if you're in Denver, check out Greenlight Reiki. I absolutely fucking love that place. And also just know that breath work, if you're new to it, it can be really hard and extremely uncomfortable. It's really easy to be like, nah, this isn't for me, and just stop early. But if you're at, you know, an in-person session, you're more likely to continue and not let your mind talk you out of it. And you can do a lot of real healing through these sessions. I know I have. So I know I just threw a lot at you. Sorry, not sorry. This was a very challenging month for me. I was super fucking scattered and just super fucking fearful and afraid and not feeling safe for much of the month. But that also allowed me to experience some serious breakthroughs with a lot of wounds that I didn't realize were still present, a lot of resistance that I still had that I thought I didn't, and areas of my mindset that needed significant shifting, especially when, you know, I would get into these fearful, unsafe, heightened nervous system states. So I hope you found this helpful. You know, this might be an episode to, you know, kind of put a pin in and circle back to if you're in a place where you're having a really tough time. Again, this was not easy. I had to be super intentional with what I was doing, with the environments that I was in, with how I was choosing to redirect my thoughts and create that change to heal myself. but it's all had a better outcome than I could have imagined. This was something that I clearly needed to go through to heal on different levels. So also, if you want more resources for nervous system regulation tools and specific, you know, YouTube videos, things like that, that I like to use when I'm in these really unpleasant states, check out my beginner's guide to trauma healing that's in the show notes. It's free and it gives you some of my tried and true meditations and tapping videos and some other suggestions to help you get through these really difficult times. So thank you so much for listening. I really hope you found this helpful and I will see you next time.